This is Doctoring Up Design, a lively and interactive and educational series presented by Design Hardware and held in their ever-evolving showroom on 3rd Street in Los Angeles. Doctoring Up Design was created to address your pain points in the constantly changing world of design and architecture. Doctoring Up Design features the most knowledgeable and creative designers, architects, manufacturers, and product designers in the business today to help you build a healthy and strong design practice. So the episode this week features Greg Roth of Carbon Shack, a firm dedicated to the practice of sustainable, let's call it responsible design. Sustainably designed practices in mind and responsibly built for the enjoyment that is lasting with a minimal impact on the geography on which it sits. Greg Roth earned his Master of Architecture from USC and has spent a significant amount of time on both the commercial hospitality side of the business as well as residential design. Greg and I sat down at Design Hardware to discuss his work and the latest developments in sustainable building. Enjoy that right after this. Design Hardware is your one-stop design resource for stunning hardware, flooring, and unique brands that allow designers to stand out and create incredible projects. When you walk into the constantly changing Design Hardware showroom, you will find hundreds of hardware styles. And if you are nowhere near the showroom, no problem. You can check out all the latest styles online via the digital lookbook and specify what you need through their professional sales team, and it doesn't matter if you're across the street or on the other side of the world. Design Hardware is where you will find brands blazing new design trails from extraordinary companies changing the look and feel of luxury design. Visit designhardware.com or on the socials at Design Hardware and Flooring. Let's start here because, you know, I always have the best conversations before I hit the little red button and start recording.
Good.
And I want to back up a second.
I understand how that goes.
Because I was telling you that the Pasadena Showcase House for the Arts, the last one that I covered was, and I want to say that like people were just starting to talk about the coronavirus, if I remember correctly, or maybe it was was it before that?
Yeah.
So the last one I covered was, it was the second to last one that you did this breakfast room. It was the second to last one that I covered.
So it was spring of 2019.
That's right. By the way, 3 years are gone. It's almost like they didn't happen, right?
Noticed.
Except in design.
Yeah.
And except when it comes to sustainable design.
Mm-hmm.
And the talk about sustainability, it's kind of like the industry caught up to you.
I would like to think so.
It feels that way.
Well, I feel like it's closer to catching up to us.
Yeah.
I think we're on the path to some sort of leveling of that. And I have to say that, you know, being confined to a home and sort of looking at your home more closely has played a role, I think, in that. But also the state of the world and the increasing pressure on all of us to do something about climate change has really brought that to the forefront, I think. Not that it hasn't been a conversation that hasn't been ongoing, but there seems to be an urgency now that might not have been there 3 years ago, and I think people are aware of that.
Talk to me about Carbon Shack. Talk to me about the ethos, the idea, the philosophy behind the company.
So the idea is that home construction and design and sustainability can be married. There's no reason for there not to be complete synthesis with all three of those ideas. And our philosophy is that every design decision can have a green choice made about it. It doesn't mean that we have to be orthodox and look at and strive for every single act in home construction and design to be green. But even if you do one, you're doing something to help the planet, and our goal is to get people to be more aware of their connection to the environment and their responsibility, our all collective responsibility as stewards of the earth, without sounding too granola. But really, there are many things we can do to affect that sort of movement towards a greener way of living and constructing.
How does that idea manifest itself in your design?
Well, first of all, there are two aspects of our business. We're a design build firm, so we design and we build. And the One answer is very unsexy, but it's also very practical and applicable, which is that most people, when they're renovating, have an opportunity to do things that are unsexy in their home, like putting in insulation, like changing out all of their bulbs to LED. I think a lot of people are already at that point with LED, but it's still a significant opportunity to be greener. Making sure that doors and windows are properly weather sealed. Those are a few things that we can do and that we do all the time, whether a person comes to us and says, oh, I want a green home or not, that help with being more green. But on the design side, we make choices about the materials and the sourcing of those materials that is in alignment with our philosophy that green is good. So, you know, whether it's a fabric or an appliance, we always want to make sure that we're optimizing the sustainability factor.
Back to the original question, though. How does that philosophy, how does the idea manifest itself in your design? What I mean is, I get the whole thing, LED versus incandescent.
Yeah.
Windows and doors and the seals and the minutia, right?
Correct.
But aside from that, I feel like the conversation has been shifting to more of the idea of sustainable design mm-hmm. is different. It's the philosophy has changed a little bit. It's about indoor-outdoor living mm-hmm. like never before, where it's almost one. Mm-hmm. Has that changed the way that when you were a brand new rookie designer, you know, how has it changed you as you work, or did you feel this way when you first got into the business?
No, I would not say that I did. I would say I had an awareness on some level of eco-consciousness, but you know, as a new designer, the possibilities that were sort of endless, and so I jumped in without much regard. But I would say that now, we, especially in Southern California, where we can be indoor and indoor-outdoor around the, you know, all year, it does provide a great opportunity for us as a company that is keenly aware of our connection to the outdoors and nature to highlight that. And we try to do that as much as we can by bringing the outdoors in, both in materials and visually, with the use of natural materials, woods, fabrics, and even something like furniture that we have custom made from trees that have been taken down within the city of Los Angeles. So we're not looking to lumber that's hauled in from long distances. And we are using trees that have outlived their usefulness or need to be taken down. We had one, the city was widening a street recently and it had to take down a beautiful Italian stone pine. So I don't know how old that was, probably 40 years old. So it was a very large tree and we turned that into incredible furniture. So that is literally taking the outside, like right outside of the home, and bringing it into the home. So it's not just about how do you occupy a home and on the interior of the home and have access to the exterior, like, oh, you put in French doors. It's much more nuanced than that and much more rich, I think, by taking literally things that are outside and bringing them in. I can also say that another aspect that we are very excited about that we do is bring in design motifs into the home that reference nature. And in that way, and I can give examples, like there are some beautiful there's beautiful imagery of microscopic cellular structures and spores, plant spores, that we tend to use as design inspiration. And we've created some fabric and we use these motifs in carved furniture. And aside from being beautiful and creating beautiful products, the goal, which might be a little bit subtle in some minds, but it's very pointed in our point of view, is to bring to mind and strengthen the connection that we all have to the outdoors and to nature. And if we can do that in even subtle ways, when you're walking through the home and you see that motif, you're not exactly sure what it is, but you know that it's an organic form, then I think that it is a great opportunity to increase awareness and connection.
And I have some images of this from that design house in Pasadena, and I'm going to see if I can find it, because I was telling you before, I interviewed Goli at the house, and I absolutely loved it. It's nature without first impression being nature. It appears to be art first, and I think that is the coolest thing. It's also indicative of a new idea that's not really a new idea, but it's new to us now, that not everything has to be super luxe. The idea of sustainable design really doesn't have to change the way design has always worked. It just has to be rethought. And I think the what I can compare it to is you look at the Tesla, right? You look at electric vehicles now. You know, in the 1990s, when GM produced the first EV1. It's a brilliant story, and it's horrific. They basically produced somewhere around 250, 300. They leased them out. I was doing a piece years and years ago with Alexandra Paul. She was on Baywatch. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the first. Her and Ed Begley Jr. both had EV1s. And she was telling me, she said, it was the most incredible car she's ever driven. They made a movie about it, Who Killed the Electric Car? Who killed the electric car? So they leased them, not sold them. Right. When GM realized that it was hurting their sales, they pulled them all back and crushed them.
Yeah.
And I think there's maybe two left, three left, something like that. There's one at the Peterson. Mm. But it's a really interesting story. It was a car. Mm-hmm. It had four wheels, and it had brakes, and it had a motor, and it had seats and a wheel. I mean, it was a car.
Yeah.
When you think about design, have we changed all that much, or is design still... We kind of go back and forth with this idea of sustainable design having to change the idea of what design actually is. And I would argue that maybe it's more natural, and perhaps some overthink it a little bit.
I think that a lot of people overthink it, because when the notion of organic, sustainable design and sustainability first came into the consciousness, I think, it seemed like it was maybe in the 60s and 70s, and people started doing biomorphic forms, and that has a sensibility about it that people find to be sort of hippie groovy. And not everybody wants that. Some people do. Like, there's some parts of it that are back in fashion, right? But in terms of design, people shy away from it. We have no... we're very clear, I should say, that design does not have to be that groovy. It can be very beautiful and elegant and have even a sort of classicism to it and be sustainable. So we can apply... hemp fabric in a very classic way to a piece of upholstery, and we know that we're doing good for the planet by using hemp instead of linen or cotton, because hemp uses far, far less water in its production and growth than those other fibers. So there are plenty of ways to implement design that are sustainable, but that don't mean you have to compromise how things look. And hemp in particular, since I'm on that topic, is a fiber that is extremely versatile and can have the look of cotton twill or silk or a variety of different weaves. So we're very excited about hemp on that front, and obviously because it is great for the planet.
I feel like a large part of what you have to combat as part of a firm that gravitates towards sustainable design is the misperception, the misconception, and the perception that things aren't what they are. And I remember probably about 9 or 10 years ago in talking about hemp, even before it was really talked about in terms of fabric use for home design and furnishings, when they were talking about it in terms of fashion, right? And the idea that hemp was somehow related to weed, or it's an odd connection to make, but it was so easy for some to make that connection, and that was the objection to the product.
Well, it's hard to source hemp fabric still because there are so many regulations about its growth and production.
Yeah.
For those reasons.
Yeah. And so, you know, I get into the broader idea. It's funny because this conversation that we're having now is one that isn't often had in the context of design and interior design. You know what I mean? Because all too often, it just goes down to beautiful things, what's pretty, what's elegant, what's luxurious.
Yeah.
And I think the story behind it is so much more interesting. That being said, I'm curious, how have you changed as a designer over the last 3 years? How has the business changed? What are clients asking you for now that maybe they weren't asking you for 3-4 years ago?
Well, I think, like I was saying earlier, people have turned their gazes inwards into their homes, and so they're very interested, I think on a different level, in making their home a place that works for them, that functions the way they really want it to. So I think people maybe used to be a little bit more interested in design in a superficial way. Finishes and colors and textures, I'm never opposed to investigating that as a design challenge. I see now that people are more interested in really changing their spaces and the functionality of them and the usefulness of them. So I think that's very interesting and a kind of wonderful development, which isn't to say people have not mentioned that to us, you know, in years past, but there's more of an emphasis on it, more of an emphasis. And, you know, in sort of considering a home, a space in home that they want to reconfigure, they're really more more thoughtful about it and making sure that it's fitting their needs. And, you know, like, for example, we have a client who we were working on their guest house above the garage, and the garage was a 3-bay garage, and it was a mess. There were never any cars in there, it was just junk and years of accumulation. And this was in the middle of the pandemic, and they really realized they didn't need most, if not any, of that stuff. But what they really wanted was a place to work out and to be healthy at home and to work on their you know, well-being. So we took 2 bays and we created a really beautiful indoor-outdoor gym for them. Incidentally, we covered the walls in a sort of wall covering that mimicked ivy-covered walls. So we actually brought the green in. Their home yard is surrounded by ficus. And then they had 1 bay left over for the stuff that remained. So that's an example of, you know, a client who really thought, what can I do to make my life better now that I have this opportunity and I've been in my home and know it better than I ever have?
It's interesting, too, that we talk about product a lot now. And there has been this shift, specifically because of supply chain, where people are looking inward, domestically. Where can we get product from? And even further, as opposed to looking at product manufacturers who are getting their raw materials domestically. It's fascinating how quickly need changes perception and thought, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to product specification, product research, product questions that you use in your design, are you more thoughtful about it now than you were before? Equally thoughtful about it? Do you look more diligently for other sources now. Has that changed, especially with supply chain?
Yeah.
Because you still have to get the work done.
Yeah.
How has it changed on the product side?
Well, for us, first and foremost, we're always interested in manufacturers who are local or at least domestic, so that we can avoid the larger carbon footprint. Oftentimes we can find them. Oftentimes clients really want a specific brand that's from overseas, so we obviously accommodate that. One way that we really focus on that in terms of our process is that we forefront products in terms of the design, the sort of arc of the design process. We forefront products that we know have a long lead time, even before the pandemic, but that now are even longer lead times. So that includes doors and windows. That includes almost every appliance you can think of. So those two categories, we really try and get the clients to pull the trigger as early as possible, so that by the time those things are ready, we're ready for them. In terms of sourcing, we are always looking out for new products and new sources, and whenever those opportunities present themselves, especially if they're local or domestic, we investigate them.
With regard to indoor-outdoor design, or outdoor-indoor design, does that play a role when you're working on the interiors? Do you also work on the exteriors? Do you collaborate with landscape architects, landscape designers, or does the firm do both?
We do both. So we certainly have and do develop landscape plans and designs for clients. And we also work with landscape architects and designers. Depends on the project. But yes, we do both.
Well, and I think it's refreshing because, many that I've spoken to in the past, designers, they will stop at the threshold. Mm-hmm. They will stop at that patio door. They I don't know if the outdoors intimidate interior designers.
Yeah. I think so. And that's understandable because when I was running my own studio, I found that very challenging, but I educated myself, and I have friends who are landscape architects and designers, and I have an interest in it. My parents had an orchid house at our home growing up, so I was always in the garden, and so I'm not super intimidated by it, but there's a lot to know. I mean, you can even know a lot about plants and have no understanding of drainage, and that's a crucial portion of landscape design. So if you're a designer who concentrates on the inside of a home, the outside can be a bit overwhelming. And we're comfortable with it in our firm. We're also comfortable working with designers, and we do it all the time, landscape designers and architects. And I think that collaboration can be very rich because then, there's a back and forth on how things look and end up and meeting the expectations and needs of the clients.
What is the process by which the firm goes about finding new things? Graywater, for example, Graywater Systems. 20 years ago, solar was a completely foreign concept to most people. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's common. Mm-hmm. The idea that in states like California and New York, new builds won't include natural gas. Mm-hmm. That's a wholesale lifestyle change. I mean, mm-hmm. that's something that some people will be up in arms about. If you're a chef or if you're a cook that absolutely loves gas, the idea of not having access to that or having to use propane or something of that nature, it feels like design is taking on a wholesale thought change.
I think that's correct, and I think you see that in the marketplace. I think most of the kitchen appliance manufacturers are offering induction cooktop ovens and ranges, and that are obviously electric. And I think that's great. There are many more opportunities now than there ever have been for an all-electric kitchen, and we are huge advocates of that. Whenever we have a client who's open to it, we certainly educate them as much as possible about an all-electric kitchen. There are still people who want that gas range, so it's an education process. And we are frankly working on ways to make that more accessible to people through demonstrations and educational videos as much as possible. So I think that yes, there are changes and they're good, and whenever there are changes that are significant, there's always a learning curve and there's resistance, but I think we're well on our way to getting beyond that and getting to a cleaner, greener way of designing.
I love that. For those watching and listening, thank you. If you want to follow along and go check out Carbon Shack, you can find a link to the website in the show notes and notes below. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of Doctoring Up Design, featuring an incredible conversation with Carbon Shack's Greg Roth. Greg, thank you for the time. Make sure that you check the show notes so you find links to Carbon Shack's website and to Greg's bio. Thank you, Michelle Solomons and Avi Balsam with Design Hardware, for making this platform available and for your tireless support of the design and architecture community. Thank you for listening and subscribing to Doctoring Up Design. Please make sure you are subscribing to the show so you don't miss a single episode. You can find all the links in the show notes. Thanks for listening. See you next time.